1 Peter chapter 2, resuming our study at verse 18. 1 Peter 2:18. Prior to our Bible study, we'll spend a few moments in silent prayer, giving us the chance to rebound if necessary, to assure the filling of God the Holy Spirit. Now, God the Holy Spirit, of course, is critical in the learning process. There's no requirement that you be a mature believer in order to be filled with the Spirit. Any believer at any status quo, from a baby all the way up to a mature believer, has to be filled with the Spirit. Now, fellowship with Jesus Christ is for mature believers, same with God the Father. But for the Holy Spirit, we simply name any known sin, we're put back into fellowship. Let us pray. Father, thank you for the privilege of gathering here to study your holy word. We pray that God the Holy Spirit will challenge us by these things in Christ's name. Amen. So, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18 starts out with the word servants. Now, you would think that the word servant would be doulos, which is the word for slave. Sometimes they translate it that way, but it's not. It's actually the word oikites, which means a domestic servant. This is someone that lives in the house and is a higher status. But in modern terminology, we would simply say employee. And then it says, be submissive. The word submissive is hupotasso, which is the strongest word for authority. So employees, be submissive to your masters. Now, the word masters here is an interesting word. It's despotes, D-E-S-P-O-T-E-S, where we get the English word despot, which means an evil person. Here, though, it simply means a master or a lord or someone that's an authority. In today's society, we would call that the employer or management. And then it says, with all respect, that word is phobos, which we know the word phobos means fear. Sometimes you'll see that they'll translate that word fear, with all fear. But here they properly translate it as respect because the word phobos is used for two ways. One, for emotional fear, which is a sin, you're a coward. And two, you simply have ultimate respect for those in authority. Someone has authority over you, you give them due deference, respect. So we have servants, employees, be submissive to your employer with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle. So now we're talking about the employer, you got a good boss. And that word for good is agathos, which usually is translated for divine good, but just this means it's a good boss. And then we have the word gentle, which is epikesi, which means someone that is mild, moderate, patient, equitable, fair, gentle. All these are good translations. So you've got a boss that the employee is said to be submissive, fall under the authority of your master, with all respect to that person for his position, not only to those who are good and gentle. So you've got a good boss. Now, it's easy to be a good employee if you got a good boss. For example, the boss sees that you're not feeling well, he says, just go home early, I'll pay you for the rest of the day. Or if he sees that you need some help on a certain project, he won't leave you hanging out in the wind. He'll find someone else to assist you. So whatever it is, he's just a good boss. He's not a jerk. And then we have a comma. But also to those who are unreasonable. Now you have a different type of boss. Here, that word is skoleos, and that means a crooked person, a curved person, a perverse person, a wicked person, someone that's unfair, surly, and unreasonable. So now you've got a boss that's unreasonable. And all of us have had, when you get out in the work experience, you're going to have a boss that's good, you're going to have a boss that is very bad. But here, we're told to be submissive to the good boss, which is easy to do, but also to those who are bad bosses. A bad boss will be someone that's, obviously, this is capitalism, folks. This is not socialism. And this is a capitalist with no virtue. And all this bad boss wants is more money. He doesn't care about the employee. Doesn't care if you're 1 minute late. He's going to dock your pay for an hour. He's not going to give you your breaks. If you feel sick, oh well, suck it up. No time off. In fact, he's always frowning and just not a nice person to be around. But we're supposed to be submissive to these people, the good ones and the bad ones. Why would you say that? Why are we supposed to be submissive to these people? And again, we've had this discussion before. Capitalism will not work in a society unless people have virtue. Now, you can have virtue as an unbeliever if you follow the laws of the divine institutions. But as a Christian, what does virtue mean? Doing the right thing in the right way. The employee is not a slacker. They do their job, and not just when the boss is watching. They do it all the time. They do it as unto the Lord. It says, for this finds favor. And then it says, favor with who? Well, the favor here is with God. If for the sake of conscience, now this is part of the soul, you have a conscience, and that's soon adisis. Animals don't have a conscience. They simply do whatever. They don't know right, they don't know wrong. Humans, part of our soul, we have a conscience, we have a volition. Now, animals have, of course, a certain degree of mentality, obviously. We have a super mentality. Animals have a certain emotional wiring system. We have emotion as well. Animals have, some of the higher form of animals have self-awareness. I don't think an ant has self-awareness. Some of the higher forms can actually, apparently, you know, they're not talking to us, but it appears that they can look and might be able to understand that they are a particular, you know, creature of some sort. We, however, are light years beyond them with self-awareness, but they don't have a conscience and they don't have volition at all as makeup of the animal soul, whatever you want to call it. So if for the sake of conscience towards God, a person bears up under sorrows and suffering unjustly. So you have the bad boss here. Obviously the good boss is not, you're not suffering under the good boss, but you're suffering under this person. Sorrows, it's got the word sorrows. We'll look it up in Strong's dictionary here. And that's lupe, which means pain, grief, annoyance. And suffering, of course, is pasco, P-A-S-C-H-O. Unjustly, in other words, you didn't do anything wrong. The boss is just being very unreasonable. Adikos is the word for unjustly. Undeserved, without fault, is what that word means. Adikos, undeserved, without fault. So, for the sake of conscience towards God, in other words, you're not doing this for any other reason other than you're doing your duty and you realize that God controls your life. You're a Christian. God doesn't forget about you. He knows every hair on your head. He knew all about you billions of years ago. And he knew you were going to have this unreasonable boss. And, of course, this is part of testing. Suffering for blessing. Now, suffering, of course, is going to come to all of us in life. This is undeserved suffering. Like Job, for example, when you get a certain level of maturity, God will give you undeserved suffering. And what are you going to do about it? You're going to bitch, you're going to moan, or you're going to trust in God and go through the suffering. How do you trust in God? Well, you do your duty. You do your duty. And then verse 20 says, for what credit is there if when you sin? Now he's taking another little spin on this same topic. Let's assume that this word is harmartano, which is a derivative of harmartia, which means sin. So all of us sin. What credit is there if when you sin and are harshly treated? In other words, you got caught doing something, smoking and joking on the job, and the boss said, we're going to stay an extra half hour because you weren't doing your work. You endure it with patience. Well, that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to take your licks. You take your punishment. You endure that thing. That's where the word is hupomeno. You endure it with patience. In other words, okay. And, of course, you have the same word, hupomeno, for endure. And it with patience, it's hupomeno, means the whole say. So one word, endure it with patience, in the Greek, is hupomeno. We have 1, 2, 3, 4 words to translate that. So you do something bad, you get punished, and you, hey, I'm going to take my punishment, then it's over. And it said, what credit is there for that person? In other words, there's nothing special about that. You're getting what you deserve. But what about the person who gets what they don't deserve? It says that's what we have here. But if when you do what is right, in other words, you're a good employee and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, and that word patiently endure it, again, is the same word, hupomeno. This finds favor with God. The word favor is grace, actually. That's the word charis, which is grace. This finds favor with God. God's impressed when you do not react to unfair treatment. This is called turning the other cheek. Now, this doesn't mean you let somebody come up and punch you. You defend yourself, obviously, but then we're talking about a situation where you have unjust treatment. Here in the context, you're having a boss that's treating you badly. Well, you don't bitch and moan. You just endure it, patiently endure it. This finds favor with God. Let's go over to Colossians. There's a companion verse here, Colossians If you're in the New American Standard Version, it's page 1845. We're going to look at verse 22. There's a companion verse. Now, this is written by Peter, of course. Colossians 3:22 is written by Paul. And you might say, well, they're saying the same thing. Of course they're saying the same thing. God the Holy Spirit is the one that dictates the Word of God to these men. They're just writing it down without changing their personality. There are some differences, though. So the first word we have, instead of in 1 Peter, we had the word servants. Here we have the word slaves, and that is the word doulos. In all things, obey. We have the same word here for obey, hupo ko'u. Those who are your masters. Here, instead of, we have the word kurios, which means a lord or a master on earth. So this, we might translate it in modern English because we don't have slavery anymore in this country. You do in Africa and other countries around the world, but not here. So we have employee, in all things, obey those who are your masters on earth. Now, they're not your masters in heaven. Who's your master in heaven? God. And God, the master is responsible for taking care of the slave, giving them their entertainment, their food, their video games. All those things that you think you like, well, that's what the master is supposed to do. It says, not with external service as those who merely please men. So it says, obey your masters, not with external service as those who merely please men. This is a slacker. An employee, they look like they're typing and working away when they think the boss is in the office. When the boss leaves, they just go back to smoking and joking. Or whatever, or they're on the factory floor. When they know somebody's watching them, oh, they're up there brown-nosing, doing everything they can. But when no one's watching them, their true personality comes out because they have no virtue. They're doing the absolute least they can do for their paycheck, except when the boss is watching. That's what this means. It says they're men-pleasers. They please men, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Well, you're supposed to please the Lord. In other words, you do your job the best you can. And that's what we have in verse 23. Whatever you do, this is to the believer, do your work heartily. Whatever you do, if you're a student, be the best student you can be. If you're a wife, be the best wife you can be. If you're a husband, be the best husband you can be. And that word is ergazomai. It means to work, to labor, to do, to trade, to make gains, to do business, to exercise, to perform. Whatever you do on this earth, do it heartily. That word heartily, of course, is the word suke. P-S-U-C-H-E, which of course, it means the breath of life. It actually sometimes is translated as the soul. Here, they translate it as do your work soulishly or heartily. In other words, do it as for the Lord. This explains that phrase, as for the Lord rather than for men. So this is why you do what you're going to do. Verse 24 here, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. Actually, that's who you serve. Now on the earth, in verse 22, yeah, you have a job, you're doing stuff, but you're serving the Lord. You are a citizen of where? Remember we studied that in 1 Peter? Heaven. And what is your racial code? Well, it's a Christian. Your skin can be black, yellow, green, red. Your IQ can be high. It can be low. And we know that genetics have impact on humans from A to Z. We know some people have severe handicaps through no fault of their own. They're born with cripple diseases or this or that and the other thing. All these things are irrelevant. The world, the earth, is your stage. And not everybody is the star of the show. Everybody has a part on the stage. And God knows what your part will be. So we all are part of the body of Christ. We use that analogy too. Some people are a toe, some people are a nose, some people are a muscle. You might say, well, I got big muscles. Yeah, but if you don't have a joint, muscles don't work. You need a little joint. So we have to be careful about being arrogant about what we have and what we don't have, because everything we have is from the Lord. And you're going to have people below you in this world. You're going to have people above you in this world. And arrogant people, they don't like to be below. And arrogant people, they like to screw other people that are below them. So it is for the Lord Christ whom you serve. For he who does wrong will receive the consequences of the wrong which he has done, and that without partiality. This is called divine discipline. This is the suffering that you deserve. So back to 1 Peter chapter 2 as we close out. 1 Peter chapter 2. Remember, these are almost the same type of concept. But we get a little extra from Paul. But Paul says, look, you do your job as under the Lord, whatever it is. We have illustrations here before we close out. And off the top of your mind, if I said, well, give me a couple of illustrations of people that were unjustly treated. Well, the first one that comes to mind, right, is Job. Job was a mature believer. He just sat there minding his own business. And zoom, suffering for blessing hit him. God allows Satan to get at him. And he had suffering for blessing. Job didn't deserve it. Now, God did this. Why? Because you cannot grow to maturity unless you have a test. The doctrine of your soul has to be tested. And Job passed the first test. The Lord allowed Satan to take away a lot of his money, a lot of his house, and all the things he had. He said, well, the Lord gave me all this stuff, and the Lord took it away. And then the second one, he had horrible boils all over his body, and he didn't crack then either. The third test he flunked, and that was his friends. His friends came there and looked at him. Oh, Job, we know you must have done something evil. But he hadn't done anything evil. It was undeserved suffering, but then he sinned because he reacted to his friends. He got very bitter. And, of course, he rebounded later on and passed the test. Another illustration, Joseph. Joseph was promoted by God. He's the top slave of the head of the FBI in Egypt. His boss was Potiphar. Potiphar was his name. And he was accused of raping the wife of his boss, which he didn't do. But the boss knew he didn't do it, but threw him in jail anyway to save face with the community. So Joseph goes into jail. Now, God knew that Joseph was going to be thrown into jail a long, long time ago. And Joseph passed the test for a while. He said, well, you know, God knows what he's doing. He's controlled everything up to now. If he wants me to be in jail, well, there's a purpose for it. Then, of course, after a while, Job decided he's going to find his own way out, and he flunked the test. And then he passed the second test. But these are two great men that were given testing. Now, our last verse before we close is in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Now, remember, 1 Corinthians is right after Romans. You're going to hit 1 Corinthians. And Romans is right after Acts. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 17:93, if you have your New American Standard Version. Because this is God's promise to us. Because I know we're double thinking here. Well, you know, if I have to grow to get, if I'm going to have to get suffering to grow, maybe I just don't want to grow. But you're going to get suffering one way or the other. All people get temptations and suffering. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. I'll give you another second to pull up that. We're going to just do a couple of these verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Now, 1 Corinthians, of course, is written by Paul. And we have here, this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible because it's stated many times in the Bible, but he gets right to the point here. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation, he says. The word for temptation is pyrasmos. Pyrasmos, it means a test or a trial or an experiment. So we'll just use the word test. I don't like the word temptation. No test has overtaken you. Who is the you here? Believers. He's writing to believers, not unbelievers. The word for overtaken is lambano. Can we say lambano? That's a nice word. It means to take with the hand, to lay hold of, to grab you. So no test has grabbed you, but such as is common to man. The word man here, I've got my Strong's Dictionary here, is anthropinos, and that, of course, is a derivative of anthropos. It means all mankind. So no test has grabbed you, but such is common to all people. All people get problems. All people get suffering, deserved and undeserved suffering. But this is for you. So you're a believer. You're not going to get a test that's unknown to people. And, of course, if you haven't had your first girlfriend and she's dumped you and your heart's a little broken, well, that's happened a million times. A million times. You're not the first person and you won't be the last. Or you got fired from your job or this, whatever happened. It's testing. It's unpleasant. And it says, and God is faithful. This is a great characteristic of God because God can be counted on. That word is pistos. It means he's absolutely, he's faithful in everything. He never changes his mind. He's impartial. Who will not allow you to be tempted. Now, when you get your test, God's promise to you, he says, I'm not going to allow you to be tempted. That word is pirazo, and that means to try whether a thing can be done, to make a trial or test. So it's test again. But will not allow you to be tested beyond what you are able, but with the testing will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. And we've already seen the word endure today in our study, same word, hupophero, to endure it. So what does this mean? Well, you, as you grow and learn Bible doctrine, you're going to go from a baby to a child to a teenager to a young adult to an adult. So you grow up spiritually. The more Bible doctrine you put in your brain, the more you grow up. You can grow up to be a mature believer by the time you're 20. Easy. Jesus did it by the time, before he reached puberty, he was a mature believer. So it can be done. In his humanity, he did it. But you, some people take until they're 85 years old. But it's up to you. If you want to reach maturity, Jesus expected his disciples to be there in 3 years of teaching. None of them got there. None of them. But eventually, after he was resurrected, they all got to maturity. So it's up to you. It's like you're doing a self-made course. You decide if you want to super, you know, speed up the process, or if you want to do a slow boat to China and take a long time. It's up to you. God wants you to get there quickly, but it says you're going to get tested, but he won't give you a test beyond what you're able. In other words, if you have Bible doctrine and you reach the level of a teenager, let's use grades. Suppose you reach the level of 11th grade. Started out with kindergarten, you got to go all the way up to, let's say, 4 years of college. But right now you're in 11th grade. He will not give you a test beyond the 11th grade. He will test only the Bible doctrine that you've put in your soul already. And with the temptation will provide the way of escape. That means he also gives you the answers. When he gives you the test, he gives you the answer. So when Job had his test, and that word is ekbasis, and that means a way out, an exit, a way to get out of it. So when Joseph was put into the jail, God gave him a way out. And what was the way out? Apply Bible doctrine. Now, they're not going to put you in jail here unless I allowed it. Not going to happen. And you're not going to get out of here until I want you to get out. Not going to happen. And so in Joseph's case, of course, he gave him the way out. So the answer to any problem you have, any test, is the Bible doctrine you already have in your soul. You don't need to, ooh, where was that in the Bible? Let me look it up. It's already there. Remember the 8 R's? The 8 R's? Yes, we remember the 8 R's. At the very end of the 8 R's, you have retention of Bible doctrine in your soul. Then you get the test. And then the next 2 R's are what? Recall and respond. Because when you get the test, you have to respond to the doctrine. Or first of all, you get the test, you got to recall the doctrine. So if you have a test, for example, you do a horrible sin, you think you lost your salvation, well, what doctrine are you going to recall when you think you lost your salvation because you did some horrible sin? Well, you recall the doctrine of eternal security. Oh, that doctrine is in my soul. I can't lose my salvation. See, I recalled it, and I applied that to the test. I just passed. Bing, 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 pass the test. Now, you might have another test. Suppose a loved one dies. Well, what doctrine would be in your soul that you could recall to comfort you and pass that test? Well, lots of doctrines. You could say, well, that loved one's a believer. I'll see him again. So, you know, I'm not glad they're gone, but that's just the way it goes. So 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 is a wonderful promise. God will never give you a test, Job, Joseph, whatever your name is, that you're not able to pass it. Well, why don't you pass it? Well, one, you don't recall the doctrine. Or two, you recall it, but you don't apply it to the test. Those are the two reasons you don't pass the test. Okay, so that's it. We're going to pick up next time with 1 Peter chapter 2, starting at verse 21. With our head bowed and eyes closed, Father, we thank you for the privilege of studying your holy word. We know that very few humans, very few believers, that is, are open to your word. We thank you that you have provided that word. We ask you to challenge us in any way you can, compatible with our free will, to move us forward to learn Bible doctrine so we can glorify you, because that's how we glorify you. We know we're citizens. We know we're in your army, but we're obviously here on this earth. We know that we are to do our duty and do all things as unto the Lord, not as man-pleasers, but as pleasers to you, O Father. Because when we have undeserved suffering, we endure it with patience, knowing that there's a reason for it. In Christ's name, amen.